All right, I'm Donnie. I go to Westview Alliance Church. They did give me a key to that church, and I gave it back to them because once you have a key, you got to do a lot more stuff. So, no, I've been a trustee there for probably 18 years. But why do I do it, and why do we ask these questions? Because we're family. It doesn't matter where we're worshiping, but are we worshiping? Are we worshiping as a body? You know, I know that there's brokenness in this room tonight. And I also know, I remember one time, they had an altar call. And if you know what an altar call it is, you come up to the altar and then they will have a deacon or an elder or somebody come up and ask you certain questions. Well, the question that was asked to me was, do you sin? My answer was, no. They said, have a seat in the front row and we will talk to you afterwards. So afterwards, I'm sitting in the front row and I'm not understanding why he asked me if I sing. Hallelujah. And I said, no, it was true. And when they talked to me, he goes, everybody is a sinner. And I said, absolutely. You didn't ask me if I sin. You asked me if I sing. I didn't go back to that church. So after that, we all are sinners. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So in the book of the Word, which is God's Word, we'll go to Romans chapter 6, and we'll end up in 7, and we'll finish out in 8. Now, I was going to crawl under these tables and get out there in the middle so everybody had a good viewpoint, but I have prosthetic hips, and I said, if I get trapped under there, Lord, will they laugh at me? So I didn't do that. Why are y'all laughing? Yeah, I didn't want to bend that far. In Romans chapter 6, verse 16, it says, don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? Uh-oh. You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slaves to righteous living. Huh, I still struggle with sin. I know in this circle right now, there's at least one other person still struggling with sin. So we'll go down to chapter 7, verse 14. So the trouble is not with the law, for it is spiritual and good. The trouble is with me. For I am all too human, a slave to sin. Dude, you know, the courts tell us, I crack up. Not rudely, but I've been going there enough times over the years to hear the same ones that are going to get them cuffed and stuffed and escorted out of that room. I've heard the same stories. And then I've heard them up there clapping because they made it through drug court, hope court, restoration court, you know, all those courts. They made it. You know why? They made a different decision. They realized that the courts have saved their life. They saved mine. They really saved my life. Because see, there was another option. I could have had three strong men on each side of that casket carrying me to my final resting point. But I got saved. And I got set down. And I had enough time to refocus my thought process and learn that it wasn't all about me. It was about him in me. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Uh-oh. We don't do it because we are given a choice. We can choose righteous living, or we can choose death. Why do we keep going backwards to the vomit? That's what I know. That's how I was raised. That's the only thing I know. I live in the hood. Man, I was beat from a child. Dude, I had all the excuses. I had them all. I was beat up from the time I was 3 years old. I had people taken from me. I was in a psychiatric hospital where they strapped you to the metal table and electrocuted your brain to get it to refocus. I had all the excuses. I had a 25 to life sentence. I was facing 104 years to life. I never understood why they said and possibly life. And I think 104 years is pretty good. But we deal with the judges, so I love you guys. Okay. But I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. We got to hate the sin. We got to hate that addiction. We got to hate being a husband that is never home. We got to hate not being a daddy. We got to hate not going to church. We got to hate the things that are drawing us back into that courtroom, because if we don't hate them, it's going to call us back. We're just going to wait until the parole paper's done. Sign my little clap, clap, clap. You're released. And then 6 months later, they're back in again. If it's 6 months. I'm telling my story. I'm telling my story. You all have your own story. But you know what the depth of that hate has to be. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree that the law is good. Dude, I sat up in the holding tank and go, oh, Lord, man, you know, please, Lord. And plea bargain with somebody I didn't even know. Uh-oh. Tell that judge anything they wanted to hear, because I wanted to go out and get high again. I just wanted one more shot at freedom. Not freedom in him, but freedom to sin. I know I got one more high in me. I know that. But I might not have one more recovery in me. I know that I can go right where I live down there and get spice, heroin, crack, meth, anything, and only walk two doors away to get it. But see, I hate that. I hate that. I had to understand that that will kill me. I was talking to a paramedic the other day, right after we revived somebody with that Narcan. And you know what I thought I heard that victim say to the paramedic? Man, I almost made it. If you want to die, that's your choice. We have freedom of choice. But if you think you can play with Satan that much and Narcan's going to be there every time to save your life, you better do rock, paper, scissors, because I'll bet it's the best 2 out of 3. But if I know that what I am doing is wrong, this shows that I agree the law is good. So I am not the one doing wrong. It is the sin living in me that does it. Man, we good people. But good people ain't going to heaven in a little rowboat. You ain't getting into heaven by your good works. You are not getting into heaven because you show up at faith-based mentoring. You are not getting into heaven because you bought your wife a rose. The reason you bought her a rose is because you was out for 3 days the night before without her. Dude, if I'm laying on your heart, that's God, not me. Because see, I'm talking to myself and how I used to be. That's why I know what it takes. And I know how hard I work every day for this relationship. This one here, dude, he judges me. You don't get to judge me. But you get to help me in my walk, in my talk, in my actions. Why? Because, see, you will never see me coming out of Captain Cork with a half rack of beer. You'll never see me in Kroger pushing the beer through the line. Because, see, if you call me at 2 or 3 in the morning, I want to be able to be there for you. And I pray that if I called you and I was struggling, you would be there for me. I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my sinful nature. Nothing. Nothing. You can have all the jewelry you want. You can have all the houses you want. You can have all the cars you want. You have all this you want. But I have never yet seen a Hertz with a U-Haul. You ain't taking it with you. And there ain't, if you look at these grave sites, there ain't even big enough room for a refrigerator. There's big enough room for a casket. That's what you got. But see, on that tombstone is your name. Your biblical God-given name with a date. And it says 1958, I'm 60, so quit laughing. 1958 to blank. But there's that inch, that one dash. What's it going to say about you? Are your kids going to come up there to that and go, man, he turned into the best daddy in the world? Or are they going to stay away and not even clean the weeds that grow up around it? Are your family and friends going to say, hey, that dude made a difference in my life? Or are they going to say, man, that dude wrecked my life? I was married four flipping times. Four. Before I got a relationship with Jesus Christ, and I've been married once. 15 years to my wife. 15 years. And you know what she told me the other day? She said, you're the most brutally honest man I know now. Because, see, I've been out of the penitentiary for 21 years. October 20th of 05 was my last drink. Add the years up. I've been with her since 99. She went through it. But for you wives, this is from my wife. She never stopped praying for me. I would wake up sometimes and wonder, what the heck, where am I and stuff? And it was because she was laying her hand over me praying. I don't owe her nothing. I owe her everything. Because she taught me how to never give up for my brothers and sisters that we pray for today. You're not a mistake. You're not junk. Anywhere I look in this Word of God, it says we are created in Christ's image. Dude, I look in the morning and go, dude, you're good looking. Why y'all laughing? You ought to be doing that. You ought to look yourself in the eyes. You know, I used to shave. Matter of fact, I didn't shave for a long time because I didn't even want to look in the mirror. Sometimes I'd shave like this just to get it over with. But now I have conversation with me and God in that mirror and I look him eye to eye. I said, hey! He said, what? Sorry, babe. I forgot you was close. She's like, I need a hearing aid now. I said, hey, what do you have in store for us today? What are you going to do today, God, to make a difference in Fort Wayne? What are you going to do today, God, to make a difference in me, to make a difference in Fort Wayne? What are you going to do first with you, God, my wife second, my children third? Ministry's got to be down here, but it's got to be a priority to lead people up here. But if you got it messed up, and you got it messed up as a husband, and you're not giving your wife 100% of what you're giving 100% out here, you're screwing up. That's your defense. That's your prayer partner. We do a devotion in the mornings. We do a devotion with my son. My son got restored to me after 30 years of me being out of his life. He gave me another shot. My daughter, I met her once or twice in my life, 32 years old, forgave me. Dude, last October I didn't have no grandkids. Today I got 9. I'm like, slow down, Lord. That's a group. But God's in the business of restoring our relationships. Because, see, I found out what it was. I was a sinner. I had to hate the sin. You have to realize you have to hate something in order to stay away from tasting something. What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to give up? Your life? I did. I died to Jesus. If I go out here right now and get hit by a car and it's over with, guess where I'll be? dude, and I want that. But I'm kind of telling him to wait a minute. I got 9 grandkids, you know, hang on. But if I happen to die right now, I know I have a home being prepared in heaven, and the crowns of jewels that are incorporating my home are because of what I am accomplishing for Jesus Christ. Accomplishing for him, not me. Dude, I'm poor. I live in the hood, dude. I want that mansion on the hill. I want those diamonds and stuff. I want that room. But see, many churches have people that show up every Sunday morning with the thought process they're going to heaven. But they need to wake up. Occupying a seat in a sanctuary is not your ticket to heaven. I know, I was one of them. I would go to church, I would go home, and before I did anything with my other, I had 2 stepchildren and a little girl, whatever, I'd run down to the basement. Get high. Okay, let's go ride bikes, let's go swimming, whatever. But I made sure that I had a 2-hour limit so I could get back to get high again. Wow. I had to learn to hate that. I had to learn that all that did was destroy my children. But more importantly, it was destroying me. If I'm not well, how can I teach them to be well? Sorry about screaming, dude. You threw me all off my 9 gigs. So, I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. It's a choice. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. Check this out. It is the sin in me. It is sin living in me that does it. We're sinners. But today we can walk out of that door sinless. You want to know how? By giving it to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Great I Am. You have that authority against Satan to say no more. I'm not going to mess with Fran Gold no more. I'm not going to mess with Community Corrections. I'm not going to mess with Wendy Davis. I'm not going to mess with Kearns. I'm not going to try to deceive. I'm leaving it on the altar. Now, Satan's job, I love to lay it out this way. Y'all know what work is like. You go to an employer and he pays you wages. Satan is an employer. God is an employer. God has a plan for you that you can invest everything into that employer and he will give you eternity. Or you can invest in Satan and let him keep giving you a roll of quarters for every day to put another quarter in the butt kicking machine. Who do you want to work for? It's that simple. I know personally, I love working for Jesus. And I know personally, all I got to do is turn around like this and go back, and Satan's there. In Proverbs, it says a dog returns to its own vomit. Dude, I woke up in mine. I woke up in it. So I know what Satan has. I love God's law with all my heart. But there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. I got an Elmo and an Isaiah. Elmo's over here talking crap. Blah, 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 blah. And I got Isaiah, my little Christian one over here, saying, don't listen to that. Don't build the whole house. Who are you listening to? Elmo or Isaiah? You got two German shepherds, one on your left and one on your right. You're feeding the one on your left. Every day you're grooming it, feeding it, watering. And you're allowing the one on your right to die. But you tell those two to fight, and the healthy one's going to win every time. What are you feeding? Are you feeding Elmo? Or are you feeding Isaiah? What are you giving the power to? This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. And we're going to wrap this up a few minutes early probably tonight. Maybe. Maybe not. I might keep you till 10. It's okay, though. I called house arrest. You guys are okay. I really did call house arrest, and I told him he ran. Oh, Toby ain't on house arrest. Just kidding. Okay. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Do you like being deceiving? Do you really like people talking behind your back about how two-faced you are? Do you really like your own family to say, man, I hope he don't drink today, because when he drinks, he's a different person. Oh, man, he just got paid. He just got paid. I hope he understands rent needs paid. Got to have the cell phone bill. Got to have the house, water, electric. Or, man, should I have picked up his check for him? Because, man, that's a temptation. Uh-oh. I ain't the one tugging at your hearts right now. I'm just reading what God gave me. That's between you and God. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? You ready? Punchline. Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in Jesus, dude. That's it. It's in Jesus. If you don't know Jesus tonight and you've had problems with churches dogging you, lay it on the altar and say, Lord, give me one of these people to follow to church this next week. Let one of these people entertain me at church. Leave it on the altar. Man, I was raised Catholic. They beat my hands with the ruler. Sorry about the Catholics. He's asleep. Leave him alone over there, Bob. Don't pick on Mick. No, he's praying. I'm messing with him. But if you had a bad taste about something in a church, suck it up, buttercup. Remember the first one I had? I sat on the front row and I said, I don't sin or sing. I had a bad taste. I didn't even find God till I was 40 years old. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Are you tired of being a slave to sin? That's my question. Are you tired of being a slave to sin? And we're going to close in just a minute. Okay. Isaiah. I love Isaiah 40, verse 29. And here's how you're going to be able to deal with this sin. You ready? You ready? Here's the ticket. I want to give you a ticket so you understand. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Woo-wee! I said that low for you, just so you know. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. Here you go. Here it is. But those who entrust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
What verse is that?
I don't know, 40 something at the end.
40, 20.
Thank you.
29.
Yes. Thank you. Glad you're paying attention, brother. Dude, I just know. I got them highlighted in there. I read them so much because I have to renew my strength every day. Every day. Every day. Every day. So here's my prayer for us tonight. We got like 2 hours and 20 minutes left before we go. Okay. Just tricking you. and seeing who's still awake. Got a few minutes. I'm just going to ask a very abnormal thing. I just want us all to pause. Some of you will pray, some of you will think, and some of you will have a dealing with Jesus in your heart. And some of you, there's one or two, will have an argument with Satan in your head. But I'm going to close us in a few moments. But what I would really pray that you do is in your mind, release it to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you walk out that exit sign, remember what I say every time. That's an entrance. That's your battleground. That's where it's going to happen, right out there. But you can leave it right here at the altar and walk out of here whole, fresh, and new. And you can leave it right here on the altar and walk out of there with questions. But every mentor in here right now, raise your hand. Everyone that's a mentor. You see those hands that are up right now? They are here, divine appointments by Jesus Christ. They have the ability to listen, listen, love, love. And so seek one of us out. I'm actually one too. So seek one of us out, because here's the deal. We care. And we want you to be standing right here where I am one day, speaking what God's done in your life. Amen? Amen. So let's just close our eyes, bow your heads, get in a kneeling position, jump, shout, run around, or however you want to do it. But I'll close here in just a few minutes when it's uncomfortable. Father God in heaven, what just totally gets me every time is you're listening to every thought right here. And not only every thought in this room, but all over the world at one time. And you can comprehend and you can decipher and you can heal and you can glorify your name through everything and everyone with the power of you. So I pray tonight, Lord, as you're hearing these thoughts that are coming through, that you will forgive. I'm praying right now, Lord, that you will heal. I'm praying right now, Lord, that you won't let Satan steal one more moment out of any of my brothers or sisters in this room. I pray right now for those families that are suffering with health, that they're having those massive bills come at them. They're having the wondering if that family member is going to make it just today. I know, Lord Jesus, that you're dealing with financial issues right now, Lord. There's community corrections fees, there's house payments, there's cars, there's cell phones. All those things, Lord Jesus, that Satan's trying to kill, steal, rob, pervert, or destroy in somebody placing their trust in you. Lord, you hear all that. You hear about that husband that needs to make that apology to his wife. You've heard that wife that needs to make that apology to the husband. You've heard the significant other men and women relationship, Lord. You've heard it all. And you have the final answer. So I pray tonight, Lord, that you will establish relationships with our body of churches here in Fort Wayne. We are the city of churches. But now may we act like it. May we act like your church. Not about denominations, but by people, by lives, by hope, by forgiveness, by faith, by love, by trust. So tonight, Lord, I pray that every one of us walk out of that exit sign into that entrance with a newness, with a freshness, a knowing that their sins were forgiven right here, right now, by the blood of Jesus. Satan, whatever you want to kill, steal, rob, pervert, or destroy in any of us, I bind in the name of Jesus and command you to get your hands off of all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. And together all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you very much.